Good day, friends. We again come to you, and we're continuing our studies in the book of Colossians. And we're dealing with the last chapter, the fourth chapter. And I would like to read from verse 2 down through verse 4 for the present. In our last lesson, we were dealing with practical Christianity in the home, in the family, in the office, in the shop, and so on. The relationship between husbands and wives, parents and children, and servants and masters. And how are you going to live that practical Christianity in the midst of a world that's so secular and has turned away from the Word of God? Even in our own blessed land, the Word of God is not given its place. As I've been reading lately some of these excerpts from some of these men like Webster and so on, Daniel Webster and others, in the early days, I tell you, my friend, it makes your heart just melt when I realize how far we've moved away from the foundations upon which our country was built. And now concerning Christians today living under this present situation, very, very difficult, I know that. Nevertheless, the Word of God stands sure. And He's given to us some resources. And those resources are that we can come into the presence of an omnipotent, sovereign, all-sufficient God who will meet our need. So he says in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us also, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now here is the Apostle Paul telling us something about our resources. And I was saying in our last lesson that from 1 Timothy 2:8, men ought always to pray where, everywhere. Or as our Lord said in Luke chapter 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And if you don't pray, you faint. And I see calamity, I see trouble everywhere because people have stopped. They become so busy that they've stopped praying. You've got to fight for it. You've got to insist upon it. When I think of our precious Savior, even though He was God manifest in the flesh, yet as a man, and I quote, you remember from Luke's Gospel, how as a man, though the perfect man, He took time out to pray. Sometimes He went out into the desert. Sometimes He went on the mountain. Sometimes He prayed all night. He had to commune with His Father. And my friend, if our Savior did that, how much do we need to take the time to commune with our Father? We're His children. He loves us. We ought to be in constant communion, fellowship with Him. Otherwise, we fail. We faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then you have Paul in verses 3 and 4 requesting for what to pray. There was definite request. He prayed while he was in jail that we would pray, that the Lord would open to him a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which of course, if I may say a word here, the mystery of Christ, which we found in the book of Ephesians, was the gathering out of Gentiles and Jews, individuals, and knitting them together in one body called the church. This was not revealed in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Israel was God's people, to witness to the nations of the oneness of God. They failed. After the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord is gathering out a people, individuals today, and knitting them together in a body called the church. And every real believer in Christ Jesus, everyone who's had a real relationship with Him, belongs to the body, the church. Or as you have it in Colossians 1, you remember the first chapter, this mystery of God among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I say, you find this in the book of Ephesians. But Paul is in prison, and he's looking forward to the time when he'll be out of prison, and he wants the saints of God to pray for him, to continue in prayer that the Lord would give him an open door for the word, a door of utterance. When you come over here to chapter 4, this chapter in which we are reading, and you come to verse 12, Epaphras, who was one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. And we'll come to that afterwards, but I want to suggest this. For what should we pray? That the word of God might go forth in the power of the Spirit of God. If ever there was a need for that, it's now. I think sometimes we Christians have forgotten the tremendous, tremendous weapon that God has given to us. The fact that you and I, who are Christians, can come at any time in the very presence of God and lay hold upon the one who is mighty. You remember in the book of Daniel, it says, the people that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Why don't we see more of that today? Because we do not spend enough time in the presence of God. You see, we are to continue in prayer. Not a haphazard thing. Not just before you hop into bed at night. But get away with God sometime. Open your heart. Someone has said, let down your hair. Open your heart. Make God your confidant. Make God your confidant. Tell him what's on your heart. Tell him the secrets of your heart. Tell him the whole business. The bad things as well as the good things. Discuss the matter with him. And have your Bible handy so he can talk to you. So Paul is praying, utterance of the word. Now in this second verse, how shall we pray? Well, brother, just stay at it. Continue. Stay at it. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, from 10 to 18 you have our warfare. Do you remember we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Now he talks about the armor. You have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and you've got the shield of faith. Then he gives you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only aggressive weapon you have is the word of God. But your resources, is what I'm coming to, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. And then Paul adds, and don't forget to pray for me. Could I put that in there for me too? So when you pray for all the requests you have, Paul says, don't forget to pray for me. So ask the same of you. When you get through praying for all your requests, remember us men who are trying to give out the word of God as best we can. These are our resources, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Just like you have in Thessalonians 5:17, it says there, pray without ceasing. The fact is, we're too spasmodic. We're just too spasmodic. Oftentimes, Christians don't pray until they get to church, or they go to prayer meeting. You know, when I read my Bible, I find every man in the Old Testament and the New Testament, every one that was used of God, were men who knew how to come in the presence of God. God is looking for men. He's not looking for movements. He's not looking for organizations. He's looking for men. And he'll take one man and use him. God's going to blot out Sodom and Gomorrah. What did he do? Called on Abram. What did Abram do? Prayed. Prayed for who? The Sodomites. Would you? Would you? Would you? I question. But you see, Abram was his friend. Friendship calls for confidence. And God and Abraham got together, and God said, I'm not going to hide from Abraham what I'm going to do. What are you going to do, Lord? I'm going to blot out these cities. Huh. Well, what if there's 50 righteous there? I'll save it for 50's sake. You know, Abram pleaded with God. Take Exodus 32 and 33. Here's a man, Moses. Not Aaron, not all the elders, not the leaders. One man stood between God and the destruction of a nation. And Moses pleaded the person of God and the promises of God. Three times, if I remember correctly, three times God was going to blot out Israel. At Israel, God found a man. God found a man. Indeed, Jeremiah, God found a man. Oh, that my head were waters, my eyes were a fount of tears, I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Doesn't anybody care for my people? You take the Apostle Paul in Romans, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. I have continual sorrow, unceasing pain in my heart. I can verily wish myself accursed from Christ if it means the salvation of my people Israel. What do we know about that? And Paul is urging these Colossian Christians, continue in prayer. Stay at it. Don't be spasmodic. Now, that doesn't mean you got to be in your room all day long, not do anything day after day. Oh, no. This can be a part of your life where the Spirit of God finds you usable. Not only in witnessing, not only in living for God, but of storming the throne of grace in behalf of others. And I'll tell you, Christian friends, America would not be where she is today if God's people had prayed. I sometimes wonder if it's too late. I don't know. But I would urge upon everyone who listens to me today, if you love the Savior, you pray for our country. Confess the sins of our nation. And God grant He'll give us strong leadership, a leadership that'll know God, that'll be righteous in its dealings with its people. It's what we need today. And Christian friend, don't wring your hands and do nothing. You get down and pray. Pray for all in authority, as 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I exhort there that first of all, prayers, intercession, the giving of thanks, be made for all men, for all in authority, for governors and kings and everything else, pray for them. And the Church of Christ has fallen asleep. And taking it as a whole, I say it very kindly, I say it with a heart that's heavy, as a whole, the average believer, real Christians, know so little of coming to the throne of grace in behalf of conditions, in behalf of a world that needs the Savior, in behalf of men and women for whom He died. Most of our praying, we're praying for ourselves, something we want. We're always, as somebody said, most Christians have got the gimmies. Lord, give me this and give me that. Instead of getting right down to business, to stay at it. And then it says in that second verse, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This is just like a sentry on duty. You know, it's a military term. Watch. Be on the alert. We've got enemies. We've got an enemy that never goes to sleep. The world, the flesh, the devil never goes to sleep. Satan himself is continually on the lookout to destroy, to affect, to hinder the work of God, not only on the earth, but in you and in me. So you have to continue in prayer and watch in the same. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 says, Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch. Let us be sober. Let's not fall asleep. I tell you, it's so easy to fall asleep. Even Peter speaks about this, you remember, in 1 Peter chapter 4, and the 7th verse, where he speaks of this fact of being on the alert concerning this matter of praying. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. What do I read? The end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch unto prayer. Well, you see, you know, Mr. Mitchell, sometimes I go on my knees to pray and I fall asleep. I'm so tired. Yeah, I know what you mean. Maybe you get the same comfort I do. Sometimes I can fall asleep. It's very easy to sleep. It's easier to sleep than it is to pray. I know that, but you know, the Lord is very tender with us. He understands us. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord said to Peter and John and James, watch and pray. And when the Lord came to them, what did he find? He found them sleeping. It's easier to sleep than to pray. I know that. I know that. And the Lord knows that. He knows our frame. You see? And sometimes you get out to pray and your mind runs away with you. Huh? And sometimes you even think of terrible things on your knees when you try to pray. That's why it's a good thing to pray audibly. Read your Bible audibly, and pray audibly. You don't have to shout it out. But to talk to the Lord so it keeps your mind occupied with Him. I've had people call me up and say, Mr. Mitchell, when I get out to pray, you know, some of the vilest things I would never think of in the daytime when I get out to pray, they're crowding in my mind. Yes? I know that. That's why you've got to be on the alert. That's why you've got to watch unto prayer. As I say, one of the things to do is to start and read your Bible. It'll cleanse you. Or, if you pray, pray audibly. It'll keep your mind occupied with the Savior. And you know, as one man said to me, Mr. Mitchell, when I pray, I can tell the Lord everything I want in 5 minutes. Yes? Quickies. He said, what shall I do then? Then I said, don't get off your knees. Why don't you start and praise the Lord a little bit? In everything, give thanks. Give thanks for the roof over your head. Thank the Lord for the meals you have. Thank the Lord for the family you have. Thank the Lord for the fellowship you have with other friends, with other Christians. Thank the Lord for the pastor you have. He's having trials and tests too. Why not pray for him? Brother, I can give you a whole list of what to pray for. What about your unsaved neighbors? What about the men with whom you work? What about the people in the office? What about your family? You have a lot of things to pray for. When you get through that, start and thank the Lord that He's heard you. For the ear of the Lord is open to the cry of the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and the Lord delivereth them out of all their troubles. Watch unto prayer, and then do it with thanksgiving. Same verse. Watching the same with thanksgiving. And I say there's a great need here. Now I repeat it, if we do not know what to pray for, start and praise the Lord. But you see, I don't feel like it. Praise the Lord anyhow. The psalmist says, he that offereth praise, that's a sacrifice of praise, it's well-pleasing to God. He that offereth praise glorifieth me, saith the Lord. Or in Hebrews chapter 13, it's a sacrifice well-pleasing to Him, to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for what He is. If you just praise the Lord when you felt like it, you wouldn't do much about that. But to praise Him when you don't feel like it, brother, that's faith. That's the kind of a sacrifice with which God is well-pleased. So let me get back to my verse. Stay at it. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same. Do it with thanksgiving. See, this is what God wants. He wants you and me to be in that place where we'll glorify Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, I just pray that today. And I'm praying for myself and for you that in some way we'll have some time of really being alone with the Lord and rejoicing in Him who is the God of our salvation. Do that today. Take a half an hour out of your time and just spend it with the Lord. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to do? Huh? My, just to think of what God will do with you and with me if we just give ourselves to Him. And believe me, my friend, the conditions today and what may be in the future is going to demand, it's going to drive you to your knees. And think of it, you're coming in the presence of an omnipotent, sovereign God who loves you. And He knows all about you. And He wants to be magnified in your life and in my life. Now may the Lord grant that you'll have a wonderful time with the Savior today. Somewhere, wherever you are, in the shop or the office, or on the street, driving your car at home, lift up your heart to the Lord and talk to Him. And then take the Bible and let Him talk to you. And the Lord bless you now for His name's sake.